Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Man, that bumper got me excited. How you guys doing today? Good. Oh, they didn't adjust this for me. Matt and I are a little different in height, I think. So if you were here a few weeks ago, actually, that reminds me. If you were here a few weeks ago, I think Matt talked a little bit about like what makes like a man attractive. And he talked about tall, dark, and handsome. You remember that? I was the handsome one. If you guys didn't know who he was talking about, that's me. So I felt pretty good about that. But I wonder how old fits into that too. You know, tall, dark, handsome, and old is probably a little bit when it comes to attractive. How does that work? That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. I just turned 58 years old a couple months ago. And I understand for some of you, that might mean, oh my gosh, this guy's a geezer. I get it, right? To other ones, I'm just a kid, right? Like, I'm just starting, you know, like I remember when I was 58, you know? So I get it. It's a lot different for where we are in life and how we look at where we are in life. I'm up here because I'm celebrating my 31st wedding anniversary. We did that last Wednesday. And I don't know, but 31 years of marriage, when I think about that number, like old people are married for 31 years. You know, I think of that idea and it kind of is a little bit overwhelming, right? And there are things that we face as we get older, right? There's physical things that we face. There's emotional things that we face. And I know it's kind of an interesting journey that we might be on today together, but it's real. My wife just lost her father 6 months ago. My mother-in-law just broke her hip, and the journey's very difficult. My wife is caring for her and taking care of her. So my... sound weird to be talking about this, but what I want to talk to you guys a little about today is that second half of life. That second half of life. Now, if you that are in the first half of life, don't tune me out. I think you can get something from this as well, but I'm going to start off right away by just telling you what I want us to consider today. Here it is. The second half of life, right? Celebrating, accepting, and finding peace during our decline. I think it was all older people that just giggled at that. I'm shaking heads. I'm like, now, my sister, when she heard I was going to talk about this and I told her my title, she's older than me. She's 60. She's like, I don't like the word decline. Change the word decline. But I wanted to use that word because physical and mental decline are inevitable, right? And experts actually say 39 is your peak. And you start declining after that. So for any of you that are 20, this is right around the corner. Like, don't think it's way down the road, right? For any of you that are my age, I'm 20 years into this decline. And some of you are like way past, like you're way down the road, right? And you get it. You get it, right? You've seen the decline mentally. You've seen the decline physically. It's happened to you. It's happened to me. Just the other week, I went surfing with a couple buddies of mine that are 30 years old. Just happened to be one of those days we all had off and we surfed for like 3 hours. Yeah, it was awesome. I woke up at like 2 a.m. with my shoulders just on fire burning and I couldn't get it to stop. And I'm like going, oh man, that used to not happen. Things are different now. So that's just the reality of it. So here's the first thing I want us to think about. Just we need to accept. We need to accept that when it comes to life, you're either at the end of it or you're rapidly moving towards it. Is this morbid right now? You guys feel like we're just on this morbid path, you know? So negative. I thought this guy was going to be positive. We'll get there, maybe. But in James chapter 4, verse 14, what's it say? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I mean, the Bible seems to get us to think about that. How fast life is. How quick it seems to go. So you appear for a while. You vanish. And I think this is for all of us. This is for all of us to consider. The young lifers, the young first half of lifers, all the way to the end of their second half lifers. So let's start this journey with you. You are young. If you're young here, you're in the first half of life, haven't started to decline yet. Okay. I want to encourage you. Take advantage of being young. Go for it. Your incline of like intelligence and mental capacity and physical awareness and strength, go for it. Go what your heart desires. Go after it. Take advantage of being young. It doesn't last forever. And do it. A matter of fact, we even have this idea that the writer of Ecclesiastes talks about, but understand something. What you're doing is building into what you'll experience in the second half of life. So look at what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 11:9. You who are young, be happy while you're young. Be happy. Go for it. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. How many churches tell young people to do that? Follow your heart. Whatever your eyes see, go for it. You got all the energy, the passion, vision. Go for it. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. What I think he's saying, go for it. But also know there's consequences. Go for it. But what you go for and what you do will affect you down the road. So just think, young people, I'm telling you, be young. I teach 11th graders in our high school at our church. I head up our young adults group. I love youth. I love the passion, the direction, the excitement. All I try to challenge them is just know something, though. You are building into who you're going to be. You don't just haphazardly become something. You build into it. And you can't sit there and say, I'm going to be this at 25 if you're not paying attention when you're 18. And that might be all you're looking at is 25. I happen to be looking at 70, right? Like, what do I want to be when I'm 70? But just pay attention. So that's the first thing. Pay attention when you're young, okay? So that's your first half. Now, for you that are in your second half of life, whether like me, you're 20 years into it, or maybe you're further along, don't let what once had, just don't let once was the things you've lost to make you no longer focus on what you have. Okay, so Ecclesiastes, he said this. In chapter 7, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions. So if you are in that second half of life, and I'm going to just challenge on how we think about this, right? It says, then don't look at why can't it be like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. It's where it's at. It's so classic. If you're young, pay attention to what's coming. If you're old, stop looking back and wishing it was like it used to be. And that's the general encouragement. Psalm 118 says this, that God made today, right? Today is the day that God has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Have fun. Have a great time. Enjoy it wherever you're at today. But pay attention. Don't wish it used to be like a way if you're like it used to be if you're older. And if you're young and going for it, know that you're making decisions. So with this, accepting that we're all on this journey, right? You got to accept it. That will help you on the journey, whether you're young or whether you're old. The second thing I just want us to think about is we need to celebrate it. We need to learn to celebrate the second half of life. Don't look down upon it, fear it, or try to avoid it. We love trying to avoid it. What can we do to avoid it? I think one of the biggest struggles in our American culture is trying to hide and avoid age. Hey, it's my birthday. Awesome. How old are you? 29. No, you're not 29. But we do that, right? How many times has this been my 29th birthday? You're way older than that. And that's not a bad thing. I actually believe it's something to celebrate. There's a book I read years ago called Happy at 100, I think it was called. And they searched all the what they call the blue areas in the world where they have the most over 100-year-olds. And one of the common things they found is those areas celebrate age. They actually lie that they're older than they are. Now, my sister does that because she thinks it's going to make someone go like, oh, you look good for your age. Right? So if you ask my sister, how old are you? I'm 75. You look great for your age, but she's only 60, right? So that's not why they do it. They do it because in those cultures, they actually celebrate it. My wife always tells me, don't ask someone their age. Why not? What are we afraid of? Why not celebrate it a little bit more? Celebrate their wisdom. Celebrate their contribution, their valuable place in society and life that they find themselves. Why not be proud and confident that I'm 48, 58, 78, 88. We have a guy in our church that's 97 years old. And he's one of our greeters. And our high school kids flock to him. And if you were a young man and went to shake his hand and you did like one of those limp shakes, oh man, he's going to look you in the eye and go, young man, let me teach you to shake hands. And I'm telling you, this guy, when he walks up, he'll dance. And then he hits himself. He's hard as a rock. And he's 97 years old. And he'll tell you how he's focused. And he celebrates that. And so, you know, think about that. We throw these crazy parties for three-year-olds. I just went to my niece's daughter's three-year-old party. Whee! It's crazy. But then we don't want anyone to know that we're 40, 50, or 70. I just want to tell you something right now. Three is not that impressive. Are you with me? Right? So we're like, oh, yeah, you made it to three, right? Then we're like, oh, I'm 29, right? So I just want us to think. I know it's a little fun, but I think it could change like how we see the world around us and our own lives in that world. Especially you younger men and women in here. Celebrate us, you know? We you know, tell us how awesome we are, right? And you're glad we're in your life, you know? Learn to do that and let us learn to celebrate. So we're accepting and we're celebrating this idea. We don't want to avoid it, that decline. We want to celebrate it more. Don't dread it if you're young. Don't be afraid of it if you're old. Learn to see that journey like that bumper was, right? We're all on this journey together, and I think we can learn to find a little bit more beauty in it, right? Now, that's the precursor to what I really want to talk about. What I really want to talk about is how do we find peace during our second half of life? How do we find peace during our second half of life? So we're talking about accepting, we're talking about celebrating. And over the past few years, for obvious reasons, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, read books, YouTube videos on staying healthy over 50. So, you know, I remember when I was turned 50 and what to do to stay in shape when you're 50. And it said walk. And I'm like, really? That's where I'm at in life? Hey, how many of you just going for a walk? It's pretty awesome, right? just get yourself moving, right? Keep yourself moving. So I'm there. So I've watched a lot of this stuff on this subject, and it's been so rewarding, so enriching in my own journey. So here's a, I'm pretty convinced of this, that finding peace during our second half of life is more of a mindset than anything else. I think it's more of a mindset than anything else. Because what you believe about it and what you believe about the journey, how you see it is more important than what you see. And how you see it will impact you more than whatever it is you're going through. Matter of fact, that 97-year-old got cancer when he was 87. And I remember going up to him and he said, "This isn't going to get me." And I have a great relationship with this guy. And I said, "Hey, Tom, something's going to get you." And he said, "Not this." And it didn't, right? And it didn't. The things I've learned from this guy, the attitude I want to have more, right? So how do we do this? Here's one thing. The older you get, the more wisdom you gain, which helps you understand what matters most, what is of the greatest value, and what is worth wanting. Oh, that is a beautiful thing as I get older. Think about the great privilege it is to get older in life. When so much of the first half life's desires, right? Those desires, those pursuits, those dreams, which are so important, especially if you're in the first half of life. Yes, those things are so important, but those things also, as you get older, start fading away, don't they? They start fading away. You begin to have a bit more clarity of what is happening, and you really believe that there's this deep joy and peace and happiness that isn't as much based on the things you thought it was based on. But you can't learn that without experiencing it, without enjoying the journey. I want to show you a chart. Do we have that chart? I want to show you this chart here that, so I teach 11th graders, and this is, we start, I do like a worldview philosophy kind of class, and we do this chart, and this is like a journey that I want them to go on. It's from a book called A Life Worth Living, and it's from a Yale freshman class. And they here's the journey. The most simple way to live life is autopilot. Autopilot is we do what we do because that's what we do. Any of you understand that? That's just what I do, right? As you get be more effective and you get a little deeper, is what we do getting what we want? You start asking that question. I'm with 11th graders. They're starting to go, messing around. Is it getting me what I want? Because all of a sudden they're going, I do want to go to college, right? Then it gets a little deeper to self-awareness. What do we really want? If you ask yourself that question, what do I really want? That starts happening the older we get. And then the deeper, most self-transcendent way to think is, what is actually worth wanting? Do you see the journey there? It's kind of funny looking out. The older you are, the more you're going, oh, yeah. Maybe some of you younger people are going like, I don't get it. But you will. You will. And so I love this chart. I think about it a lot. And trying to get young people to consider what's worth wanting can be a daunting task. I spend a whole year in that, if we're with my 11th graders, trying to get them to think about that. Because the reality is, they don't really know. I didn't really know. Until we start pursuing things and realizing they're not worth wanting, usually after we get it. Does that make sense? And until then, I could tell my 26-year-old, that's not worth wanting. Whatever, Dad. I get it. I didn't listen to my dad either when I was 25. But as we journey, we begin to have our eyes opened a little bit more. How many of you, because of the journey from the first half of life to the second, feel you can better answer the question, what's worth wanting? Do you, any of you? Feel like it's changed? Try to think back to when you were 25. Do you see it the same anymore? The things you thought was going to be make my life the better. All of a sudden you're like, oh, what was I thinking? And you begin to think, that is a privilege. That is part of the journey that's so beautiful. Simply because you've lived, you see that. Couple questions. Are healthy relationships worth wanting? Yes or no? Yes. But how many say yes because you suffered so much through bad ones? And I'm not talking bad high school ones. I'm talking bad ones when you were 20 and 30 and you realized, I didn't put the time into some of the relationships I should have. And it affected my life. In my high school group, I'll tell kids this, what's the most important decision you'll ever make? And they'll all say, who you marry? But let me ask you, can marriage not be the closest thing to heaven on earth or the closest thing to hell? Seriously? It will make or break your life in so many ways. So I just kind of get 17-year-olds to think about that, why they're making decisions, right? Making decisions. So what about this? Is living for the benefit of or positively impacting others worth wanting? Yes or no? Yes, right? But how many say yes because you experience how not worth selfishness is? Anyone? You ever, right? And did you think, I wish I was a little more selfless over my life than selfish? It didn't get me where I thought I was going to get to. So that's where that journey comes in. Is finding true, deep, inner peace worth it? And how many of you discovered that it didn't come through more stuff, getting bigger promotions, or working longer hours? But you didn't know that until the second half of life. And for some of you, you had to adjust. You had to shift focus. You had to look at relationships and what your life was meaning and impacting others and what that looks like. Guys, can I tell you one of the reasons why I'm up here? Because we're celebrating our 31st wedding anniversary and we wanted to be with our sons. One lives in San Francisco, one lives in Santa Cruz, and my wife is out on a hike with them right now. How many of you that have been married for 5 years for your fifth wedding anniversary want to be with your parents? It's probably not what you're thinking. But now at our age, we're like going, what do you want to do, honey? I want to go see my boys. Let's go see the boys. Hey, Matt, I'm going to be up there. And so we come spend time with our boys. That's old people stuff right there, right? That's because we've seen what's of greater value. And continuing to cultivate that relationship is of great value. And that's why moving forward from the first to the second half of life isn't always easy. It's not always easy, right? Because the reality is, oftentimes that transition is because of hurt, loss, pain, failure, sacrifice, suffering. We just don't learn without those things. And when you do learn, and you begin moving in a different way, it helps me to begin to see what is really worth wanting. See, I'm trying to get 11th graders to think that through, right? But I also want you to think that through, whatever age you're at. Here's an author that said this in a book I was reading. My conviction is that some falling apart of the first journey is necessary to thrive in the second. So don't waste too many moments lamenting poor parenting, lost jobs, failed relationships, physical challenges, economic poverty, or other tragedies. Pain is part of the deal. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I don't want to just ignore these things, but I don't want to lament. I don't want them to cause me to just focus so much. I wish I would have done that differently. How am I going to learn and move forward because of what I now know? And that is one of the beautiful benefits of second half of life. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want to ask you, if I would get like a group of, how many of you are in your 20s here? Any 20-year-olds in your 20s? Okay, people in your 30s. Okay, I got you 20 and 30s over there in a group. Okay, 40s? Who's in your 40s, 50s? Okay, 40s and 50s, you're in here. Over 60, 60 or older, all right, you guys are over here. And I want you to talk about that verse and tell me what is excellent and praiseworthy, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. How different might those lists look? Would that be cool, though? I'm not saying that you older people over here got it figured out, right? But I'm just saying this is the journey. Enjoy the journey. Celebrate it. Accept it. But as you are maybe in that second half of life like me, see the beauty in that. See the beauty in that, the power of serving others, spending more time with your family, learning to just be instead of always doing, right? Any of you just did, and find you're like, I'm done, you know? And you're finding greater peace just being, oh man, I just wake up, I never would have done that. But I realized I was just stuck. Having the wisdom to now pass on to others, no longer needing to amass worldly rewards like money, power, prestige. Those things come over time when you finally realize, even if you have those things, I bet you if you're older, it's less of your identity than it used to be. I'm not saying we don't have those things, but the older people like, oh, yeah, whatever. I thought it was super cool. And now there's other things that are more valuable. I'd give it all away if I just could, right? So I can't answer for you what's worth wanting. I'm not going to answer that. But I do want to encourage you, if you are in the second half of life, there is peace available because through your first half journey, you have learned more than you realize about what is truly worth wanting. Celebrate that. Think about that. Think about that chart and start asking yourself, what's worth wanting? What have you learned? Because you have so much knowledge, so much experience through the good and the bad and the ugly, right? And that's something to accept and celebrate. And I tell you, so far, the older I'm getting, the more I'm seeing this shift from first to second half, I'm seeing these things. I'm seeing what is worth wanting, and it's different. And I think it's deeper. I think it's a little bit more contemplative. I think it's a more relationship-focused in different ways. I think it's a little bit more how my life impacts others, and that's pretty cool. So, finding joy and happiness second half, it's going to take some focus for some of us. I don't care if you're at my place, you're 15 years younger or you're 15 years older. It might take some focus. So here's just a couple things to think about as we kind of close up. How can you focus more on what you have now, not what you don't have anymore? Just focus on that. Don't get caught up in what you don't have anymore. Get caught up more in what you have. A lot of that is that knowledge, that understanding, that beauty, physically, mentally, professionally. Just don't get caught up in what you had. Focus more on what you have. And no doubt, man, some of us have lost a lot moving from the first to the second half of life. But how do I find gratitude in what I have? Right? Gratitude. Proverbs 20:19 says this, the glory of young men is their strength. Oh, right? Gray hair is the splendor of old. Yeah, I got it. Who else got it, right? Yeah, right? It might not be quite as fun as being strong, but it's given us a focus on something, right? What I have now, I have wisdom. I have a young buddy of mine. He was in my youth group, struggled through life. Now he has his PhD in psychology and a thriving practice going on in Santa Cruz. He's 30 years old, doctor, and we are surfing once, hanging out. He goes, man, you know, let's see if I realize I'm probably more intelligent than you. And I said, yeah, but you're not half as wise. And he said, good point. Oh, he has all the things, but he hasn't lived life, right? So I might not be as strong, but I'm gray. And yes, I'm wearing orthotic shoes because of my bunions and my Achilles tendonitis. So if you're making fun of my shoes, I don't care. They feel good. And no young people are going out to buy Ofos, but I love them. Changed my life. So, you know, I'm celebrating what I have. I could still go out and still rock. Actually, yes, last night at the gym, I lifted more than my son. So tough luck, young boy. You don't have nothing, right? So here's the second thing. How can you focus more on what you have gained over the years, not what you have lost? Right? How much do you focus on what you have gained over the years, not what you've lost? You've gained so much. You've gained so much wisdom. And according to the Bible, gaining wisdom is far greater than almost anything else you can attain. Wisdom is far greater. Proverbs 4, 6, and 7. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost you all you have. Get understanding. So not only just look at what you have, but look at all the wisdom that you've gained. That's such a powerful way to look at things, right? So you have, don't worry about what you've lost, but what you've gained, and also have that be focused on wisdom. And then this one, how can you focus more on where you are, not what is to come? I'm talking about in this life. I know in ways my decline will be greater down the road. I know. My mom has dementia, and I go visit her, and it's different. It's hard. I realize what might be coming. I get it. But today's the important day I have. And how do I stay focused on where I'm at, not where I'm going or what's to come? What could possibly be coming? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I went to the doctor and you have high cholesterol and you have an 8 out of 10 chance to have a cardiac event. So you got to do this and this. And I eat well and I work out and I say, okay. Okay, I'm going to focus on today. Yeah, I'll do some things, but I'm not going to sit there and let it get me. How do I think more on where I am? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. How many of you, the older you are, the more that verse makes sense, right? Yeah, I just got today, and I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to seek the kingdom and just keep going. And I'm not going to be so concerned. I understand when we're younger, man, it's hard to not be concerned about tomorrow. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What's going to be my job? Where am I going to go? All these things. And the joy of getting older is all of a sudden like, whew, I don't want to waste a day. How do I not waste a day, but keep moving forward? The next thing is this. How can you focus more on the eternal peace in the kingdom of God than the temporary pleasures of this world? How can you focus more on the eternal peace in the kingdom of God than the temporary pleasures of this world? Hear me now. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God as something after you die. I'm talking about the kingdom of God of being the very presence of God in your life today. The power of the Spirit that is in each and every one of us that have placed our faith and trust in Christ. The kingdom is here. The amazing beauty of it is all around us. God is with us now and forevermore. And the older we get, I think the more clearly the kingdom of God is what we're beginning to see as we move from the first half of life and what we go after. And as we begin to lose some of those things or just not be satisfied, and then we grow into this deeper knowledge and understanding of what's worth wanting, I think what we're actually doing is having so much of the stuff drift away, the fog being cleared, and we're actually seeing what the kingdom of God is about, which is here, now, in, and through our lives. I think that's the journey that we're on. So I believe that what we see in the second half of life's journey, this is my last point here, what we see in the second half of life's journey is the fog moving away and the kingdom of God becoming clear. Not talking what happens after. I'm talking about what happens in this journey of life here. I think the things we're talking about is having some more clarity. John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives it. There's peace out there, but it's slippery slope, right?
but I'm giving something deeper. So don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And Romans 14, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Guys, I love getting older so far. I wouldn't go back. Have you ever thought of like, if you could go back to when you're younger? There's nothing I'd want to go back to when I was 30, except maybe buying a Bitcoin or something. Are they for sale yet? Other than that, right? It's hard to learn what only experience can teach you. Allow the journey of life, that experience, to teach you how great the kingdom of God is now. The beautiful things that the scriptures teach us about that kingdom. And the joy when we get older to see that that is really what's worth wanting above everything else. But it just takes us time to get there sometimes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just this journey that we're on. I pray that maybe just for some of us, I don't care if we're 18 or if we're 80, that there was some things in here today that we can redirect our focus on, because the things we focus on have power over our lives. May we focus on your kingdom in our lives here today above all other things. And may we just really begin to celebrate all these different stages of life, especially the one where we're beginning to have the fog cleared, especially the one when things that we used to think were so worth wanting start stripping away, and we really begin to see the deeper things maybe that your word teaches us about what's worth wanting. And may this begin this mental journey for some of us to rethink where we're at, to see the world around us differently and our place in it. And may your kingdom come and your will be done in and through our lives as being done in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.